but I want you to know that I've also experienced the absolute joy and satisfaction of relying on the unlimited power, wisdom, and love of the Holy Spirit. And the good news is, you can too. In preparing to write this book, I read everything I could get my hands on that had to do with the Holy Spirit. You will find several of these sources noted throughout the pages of this volume. Books on the Holy Spirit generally fall into two categories. They are either highly experiential, with great application but little illumination on the biblical text, or they are purely doctrinal, with little to carry you through on Monday morning when the storms of life arise. This is not a criticism. These writers have accomplished exactly what they set out to do. Praise God for the motivation and insight we gain through the testimony of others. Where would we be without the men and women who labor diligently to discover how all the parts fit together? The Spirit-filled life is my attempt to join experience with doctrine. This idea is nothing new. Luke did it when he wrote Acts. There we find the experience of the early church supported by the apostolic sermons, quotes from the Savior, and references to the Old Testament. It is a lesson in theology presented in the form of a narrative. You will notice that some of my conclusions are slightly out of the mainstream of evangelical thought. I've done my best to support these conclusions textually, without turning this book into a commentary. I'm not sure what role this book will play in your pursuit of the Spirit-filled life. I do know that many years ago, a faithful man of God wrote a book about his quest, and it turned my life upside down. After I read only a portion of his testimony, God opened my eyes to the reality of the Spirit-filled life. I haven't been the same since. I write with the hope that this book will do for someone what that book did for me back in 1964. If that is the case, it will have been well worth the effort. Prologue. The Adequate Christian Life. Dennis chuckled to himself as he read the bumper sticker on the car in front of him. "He who dies with the most toys wins." He had seen and heard the expression plenty of times, and he always thought it was funny. But as he sat there, staring at the car in front of him, the irony of his own situation began to sink in. At no point in his life had he ever consciously subscribed to the philosophy represented by that bumper sticker. On the contrary, as a Christian, he was diametrically opposed to an existence characterized by materialism. But as he thought about it, he realized that an outsider who watched him for any length of time might conclude that his ultimate pursuit in life was the accumulation of the newest and most high-tech toys. That was not to say that he didn't want to be a good father and husband. But somehow, those values were not the driving force in his life anymore, not the way they were in the beginning. In fact, lately, he had noticed that several areas of his original belief system had taken a back seat to the worldly priorities he was now pursuing. What was happening? Making his way up the exit ramp, he thought back to that night on the beach when, as a college student, he trusted Christ as his Savior. It was so real, so significant. His decision that night affected every facet of his life. He remembered the intensity with which he communicated his newfound faith to his fraternity brothers. Church was not a duty then. It was a joy. It was something he looked forward to each week. Everything was different now. His faith hadn't changed. He still believed all the same things, but something was missing. His whole Christian experience could be summed up by, "I'm doing the best I can." His wife Cheryl plopped the groceries down on the counter and looked at her watch. It was 5:15. Dennis would be home in 30 minutes, and she hadn't even begun to prepare supper. As she grabbed her apron, she heard something fall and hit the floor. It was a refrigerator magnet that had somehow found its way into her apron pocket. If life gives you lemons, make lemonade. She smiled and stuck it back on the refrigerator. "There sure have been a lot of lemons lately," she thought to herself. "But you've got to keep going. You can't let it get you down." She thought about the quarrel she and Dennis had the night before. He always called them